Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
When you put your identity in people, no matter how good they are, and no matter how well-behaved they are or how kind they are to you, at some point they will let you down.
Ashley Durand on Focus on the Family Minute.
And at some point you'll be feeling like you're at rock bottom because you aren't feeling loved, basically.
Yeah.
And so when I realized that and realized that I needed to have my identity in Christ first, that really changed everything. And nothing has helped me form my identity more than spending time reading the Bible. As simple as that sounds, and if you're a Christian, you've heard that so many times, but it really is true that as a mom, you feel like you don't have time because yeah. You're so tired and you're always caring for other people. So you feel like you should put it off until later, but the more that you don't feed your soul, the more empty that you are.
Hear more at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hey, this is Linda from Steve Schmidt Topsoil. We've been your family-owned and operated neighborhood landscape materials yard for over 40 years, and we invite you to come let us help you with your do-it-yourself landscape projects. Our friendly staff is ready to assist you with design ideas to create the yard of your dreams. Come see us at Steve Schmidt Topsoil. Look for the circus wagon off the 101 on Ramada in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Secret Service agents, bodyguards, caught entirely unaware, scrambled forward. Why hadn't they been told, one shouted to another? Why hadn't Pope John Paul II informed authorities of his plans? But the Pope himself had never imagined that in the midst of a throng of thousands, he, the Pope, would be lifted unresisting from his chair and drawn out into the sea of humanity by a song. It was September 1987. One of the stops in the papal visit to America was the Universal Amphitheater in Hollywood. 6,000 teenagers and young adults would be gathered therein to see the Pope, to hear him speak, to ask him questions. 9,000 more assembled in three other cities would witness and even participate in the event through closed circuit television. Papal Space Bridge, it was called. Papal Space Bridge, a satellite youth forum. John Paul's brief sermon was on the subject of hope. The people of hope, the pontiff explained, are those who believe that God created them for a purpose and that he will provide all their needs as they seek to fulfill his purpose in their lives. Questions and answers concerning timely issues followed. Then a young host spoke into a microphone announcing that a special gift would be presented to the Pope, a special gift from a 25-year-old singer-guitar player named Tony Melendez. There was polite applause as all eyes turned to a small raised platform set apart from the main stage, and Tony Melendez, strumming his guitar, began to sing. The day is filled with love, he sang. Today is like no other day before, and you and I will never be the same. As the simple melody entwined itself about the hearts of the hearers, the young people began clapping to the simple rhythm. And when it was finished, the audience erupted in an overwhelming, screaming, standing ovation. And then it happened. Deeply moved, spontaneously inspired, Pope John Paul rose from his chair center stage, made his way towards singer Tony Melendez. Since the journey had been completely unanticipated, the pontiff had to descend several steps, jump down from a platform, climb over a barricade, plunge into the crowd, defying the attempts of his security force to surround him. The Pope reached out for young Tony and kissed him gently on the cheek. And when John Paul had returned to the stage and to his chair, he called out over the wild cheers of the assembled, "Tony, you are giving hope to all of us. My wish is that I might continue to give this hope to all the people." Once upon a time, there was a young street singer named Tony Melendez, who, because he was born without arms, accompanied his voice playing the guitar with his feet. And yet with one kiss, the itinerant musician became a concert star. And in the brief years since, Tony Melendez has performed all over the globe, has recorded albums, has written a book. They're even making a movie now about his life. And yet when John Paul II made Tony his ambassador of hope, not even the Pope realized that Tony had once tried to become a priest. But without hands to conduct the church sacraments, he had been turned away. It is only now, these long years later, and by papal commission, that Tony Melendez, with invisible arms, embraces the world. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. We're talking about all things election. Right now I have Michael Aaron Woody, who is ahead. He is in line to be the supervisor of District 2 along the coastline. This is a big deal. This will change the board majority. He has declined to state. Depending on what happens with the other race, it could be two Democrats, two Republicans, one declined to state, or three Republicans, one Democrat, and one declined to state. This could be a big deal in our county. We have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Good afternoon, and congratulations, Michael Aaron Woody. This is Julie Tacker.
Oh, Julie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, I wanted to congratulate you, number one. Looking forward to what maybe you and I could work on. Some things that, you know, I'm kind of a countywide activist, and
sure.
I see troubles all over the place. So some of that, certainly water issues in Los Osos and San Simeon. I'm happy to help however I can.
I appreciate that. Now, I know a lot of people just want to throw tomatoes at me when I say something like this, and you two sitting next to me are going to want to kick me when I say this. I'm still looking to saying there's a lot of votes to count. And, you know,
well,
and so I'm ruining the party. I get it. And I know people hate me for saying this, but I honestly look at this and say, look, there's still quite a few votes to count. So, you know, anything can happen, and I'm willing to admit that and say, okay, there you go. So, but I go back to this race and say, look, you know, we started with being told you have no chance. This is a joke. And now we turn it into the race to watch and potentially flipping a district that everybody said is impossible. What a waste of time and money that is. And we did it on just these basic ideas. So that to me thrills me to death at this point. But it's like I said, you know, I mean, we're up by, what, 3-4 points at this point. But we'll see what happens when the final vote's tallied.
And, Julie, I know some of the things that were happening with the last board majority, there was a push to bring the IWMA and the APCD back into the county to save money. They did that with the IWMA. They were looking at the APCD, and the board majority changed. First thing Jimmy Paulding did when he got in was say, hey, I want that back outside the county. And for those that don't know, when the IWMA was not part of the county, or let's talk the APCD, I think it went up 10 times. The cost of running it at the county was about $400,000. It goes out and becomes its own agency. And almost everyone there's salaries doubled, and the cost was up, you know, almost 10 times. So there's I understand why some people say we got to start looking at money and different things that are going on. And I think that activists like you have made a big difference in the county.
Well, thank you for that. And I can definitely shine some light in those little corners. And I would love to work with you, Michael, if you do get the seat, and show you some things that I've learned along the way.
That would be wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling in.
All right. So I have an election question for you, Michael. I know it's late, but you look at some of these groups and you look at these, like IWMA, et cetera, and you look at some of these joint powers. And what's interesting is they've started to legislate. They started legislating a long time ago where they can fine you, they can put you in jail. But this is just a group mostly of electeds, but we didn't put them on this board. They're just kind of there. And you have a lot of different representation that isn't an elected. You know, my opinion is one thing, but I get your opinion on these joint powers and these groups like IWMA.
Well, it's kind of nice because now I'm, you know, if this works out, and I'm very hopeful that it will, but if this can work out, it's nice because when I walk in there, I'm not dealing with, you know, and let's be candid about it. All the phone calls you get that says, hey, we did this, we did that for you, we worked on this, we were there for you, you told us this. I literally get to walk in there and say, hi, we're going to deal with the issue head on now, and we're going to deal with it realistically this time. And no, none of the, you know, people calling you on the side and, you know, and then they call their friend who calls you and all that baloney that takes place in this. So it's kind of nice.
I've always wanted to use that $10,000 toilet.
Did I miss something?
Yes. And Michael, they bought a $10,000 bidet toilet in the IWMA using government funds. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation? Seriously.
Hi, Karen.
Hey.
I sat in on Darsh's case with Kano, and I tried to keep an open mind. But, you know, when it was in the small claims first court, that stupid commissioner was given attorney's fees to Kano in small claims, which is totally illegal. So so Darsha filed an appeal. And in the appeal, you have a whole new trial all over again. And it was before a Superior Court judge. And she was pretty smart, I'll tell you. Because two things came out. The attorney's fees was kind of pushed aside because there was all this testimony about doing the recount, which Darsh had already paid $40,000 before they even recounted one ballot. That's absurd. They were up in San Jose, I think it was, with several of her staff that were salaried employees. And they're up there at a seminar and claiming time to do the recount.
And let me make this so the public understands what we're talking about.
Let me finish it up. And so the judge looked at this. And you know what she found? She found that Kano had charged $5,000 worth of overtime for salaried employees. Totally illegal.
That was
the tipping point of why Darsha won the case.
But I want the public to know what we're talking about. Darsha did a recount. They overcharged her. Darsha sued. And the judge determined, yes, they were on, you know, these people were getting paid, and they were also doing other things. They were out of town at a seminar, and they were asking for payment while they were there. There was a lot of issues.
They were up in San Jose.
Yes.
They weren't even at the polling place.
There has been a number of issues with the clerk recorder that I think it's getting a little bit frustrating with a lot of people, the things going on. And I'll give you one more example. One of the things that happened this year, the state of California said, you've got to make all public officials, you've got to make them confidential. Don't put out their addresses. What that meant she should have done is when you're going to give out a list to people, you redact the address of a public official. Instead, she didn't mail some officials ballots at all. And when they called to complain, she said, well, you have to pick it up. I don't have a second address for you. Another official, they mailed it to a post office box. He goes to every 3 months. They just stopped giving out. They just... Yeah, I don't understand it.
Redacted. I'm going to congratulate Woody, but I'm going to say, hold your breath, Woody. The fat lady thinks, and we know who that fat lady is.
Yeah, this could be interesting, definitely.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I just want to say that there's a little bit more information I think you might be forgetting about as to why Darsha started that lawsuit. It wasn't because she knew that they overcharged her to begin with. It was because they tried to hide it. They refused to give her an invoice. Oh. They just gave her a bottom line, you need to pay this. And she's like, great, I'm willing to pay that, but I want to know what I'm paying for. And
sure.
They said, nope, we're not going to give that to you.
They have to, I thought, by law.
No, that's 100% true what she's saying. They refused. She asked for an itemized receipt, and Elena said, nope, we don't do that.
And Elena Kano has been, I have worked with Democrat and Republican clerk recorders. I have never seen a clerk. I ask her for a press release, you know, ask her a question. She doesn't respond to me. She doesn't talk to me. She doesn't give me things in a timely manner. She picks and chooses what media she works with. There are issues with the clerk recorders. There's a lot of allegations that she is biased depending on who you are.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, of course, once discovery started to happen and Darsha realized, actually, I think we're owed money, the court ruled in Darsha's favor, and the clerk's supposed to pay her some money and give her some back. And to this date, Elena Kano has not done that.
That's what I've been told. She was court-ordered, but she ignored it.
Yep.
Yeah. That, again, there are some issues. I was talked to probably 2 years ago, or maybe right before Paulding got in, and there was consideration of taking the clerk recorder out of being the election official. The County Board of Supervisors can vote to do that and just said, hey, you can't do this. You're not doing a good job on the voting place. You're the elected clerk, but we're going to bifurcate the two offices. That's always an idea. But we've got another caller. Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, how are you folks today? Great conversation.
We're tired. Let me be honest. We're tired. this is really a sad-looking group in here.
Number one, I'll tell you, congratulations, Woody, as of so far in this race. I have a lot of confidence in you, sir.
I appreciate that.
Very involved.
I really appreciate that.
You well deserve. You've been very involved. Without being elected, I've watched you. You've been very involved out there in our community. I see you all the time at different events. And you're a good photographer, by the way. I see you taking a lot of photos.
Oh, yeah.
Now that that's over with, let's get to our clerk recorder. Boy, it is really scary what's going on. I'll tell you what. Years ago, I had a picket sign out front there, and I had her name on it and just one word underneath it, and that word was incompetent. I felt that way then, even more so, confirmed the feelings I had then, now. And the saddest part that I see going on with this whole issue since she's been in there, we already have such a distrust of our community, the people out there that do the voting. It's really up in the air about them trusting the integrity of our elections at all. So when you see a woman like this that knows what's going on out there, and she is delaying and playing all these games that she does not have to do, this is peculiar behavior. It is bringing more of an unrest and bringing more of a distrust. This does nothing but drive daggers between our community and separate us even more. So she is dangerous. And she hopefully does not continue in that position. Vanessa is one who needs to be in there out of all these people, for sure.
With the numbers right now, it's clearly Elena's gonna pull this off.
Oh yeah,
that isn't a close race at this point.
Here's something that comes to mind, and if you're a member, a mayor, member of a city council, supervisor, and you live even too close to a district. Or something that is going to be too close, maybe even something that you do on your business, you have to not participate in this vote. And because it was a clear conflict of interest, and this is why. How is it that somebody is running for office is counting their own votes?
No, I think they actually have somebody else in the office doing a lot of the vote counting, but she's still the boss. She sets up how things go. She is responsible because she runs every other major election. Every 4 years she runs. And we had Julie Rodewald had people underneath her working. You had Tommy Gong, who had never appeared partisan, but had some issues. But guess who was working his elections for him?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, Elena Kena.
This is why I'm so tired right now.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
I'd like to ask Mr. Woody if he could tell us a little bit about, give me a 1A class on the relationship between the supervisors and, the Penny Borenstein. I think she's the county.
She's gone now.
And the what team?
Penny Borenstein retired.
She was in charge of shutting us down during COVID because with the supervisors gave her the power.
Okay, but we're going to have to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll get this after. We'll come back to this after we come back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks halted their record-breaking rally with the rise in the price of crude oil weighing on the market amid new tension with Iran. The Dow closed down 619 points. The S&P 500 tumbled 55 points, and the NASDAQ declined 239 points. The Dow winners, Walmart, Amgen, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, IBM, Salesforce, and Honeywell International. Declines in artificial intelligence-related stocks also weighed on the market. Shares of NVIDIA, Dell Technologies, and Microsoft lost around 3%. Investors also looking at the U.S. planning new tariffs, at least 10% on up to 60 trading partners. Those tariffs aim to replace those struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Amazon is now number one on Fortune 500's list of America's biggest companies. It took over that spot from Walmart. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stiefel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
Looking for the perfect getaway without going too far? Experience the beauty of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, recently named Gold for the best Paso Robles hotel and best resort in the 2026 Central Coast Best Award. Enjoy peaceful vineyard views, elegant rooms, and the welcoming atmosphere locals love at Cello Restaurante and Bar. Discover award-winning cocktails recognized with silver for the best specialty cocktails. For a memorable stay or staycation, right here in Paso Robles, book your visit at Allegretto Vineyard Resort today.
Please plan on attending your Slo County Tea Party monthly meeting this Monday, June 8th. Guest speaker topic this month, unknown truths and myths about socialism. Our speaker was raised in communist Romania and will shine the light of truth for all to hear. Special reports also cover water districts and water pirates, $205 million Paso school bond that is actually $400 million, plus special reports from DA Dan Dow on budget cuts to law enforcement. Don't miss this meeting, Monday, June 8th, 6 p.m. at Republican headquarters.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We're having an all about the election show right now. I have Eric Gorm and Michael Aaron Woody. Eric, can you please give us an update? Tell us a little bit about the governor's race, who's winning, what the votes were locally, and then I would like you to talk a little bit about L.A.
Right now we have Steve Hilton. I think I've been predicting that one for about 3 months. He's on top of things. Becerra, and then who's in third there? Stiers
in third, and fourth in Banco. And but in our county,
Hilton's killing it. Actually.
Hilton's killing it. In our county, you had also a lot. Even Bianco got 15%. They had almost 50% them.
The top two Republicans are at about 45-47%, and then about 37% for the top two Democrats. But that's in the county, not the state. That starts to differ. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It looks like Hilton's going to go through. I think this has been pretty predictable the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I think the one that Woody's going to talk about here, that's the fun one. That's the really interesting one.
That is the entertainment for the entire cycle. I swear that's what's going on. Because first thing I heard about this guy, Pratt, was...
This is a mayor race in L.A., one of the most talked about stories in this... In the state,
if not going viral across the country, even internationally, yes. Because of the ads that this guy's doing, they're a riot. I mean, they're just hysterical. I've never seen anything like this before. We're talking about obviously Spencer Pratt at this point. But first thing I really heard about that campaign, I don't know what, about a month ago or whatever it was, and somebody said, "Hey, have you seen this ad?" And I said, "No, send it to me." So I pulled it up and I thought, "You can't be serious. This is not a real ad." I said, "Oh, no, this is a real ad." And I started following this guy, just strictly entertainment value. And I thought, you know what? He's tapping into something right now. And he's tapping into a lot of frustration that's taking place everywhere across this country. I mean, we're seeing it here. We're seeing it, obviously, in Los Angeles. But I will say this. With him in the race till this fall and running against a hugely unpopular mayor, this could get really interesting out there. I think the one thing he's lacking, though, is that it's one thing to point out the absurdities of Los Angeles. He's done a great job of doing that. He's got to be able to connect with the voters and say, what does he want to do?
Well, it's interesting to me, the most interesting thing to me, if you look at there, they're not even doing most of those commercials. Some of those are staffers, and they have carte blanche.
Yeah.
Put it out. And what, I don't know anybody that runs for office that just lets their staffers do whatever they want to do and put out media like that. But then some of them are just people in LA doing it, and he's embraced it. He just said, yeah, do it for me. Great. Put the ads out.
Yeah.
Use my likeness.
People are infuriated down there. I mean, we got problems in all communities and whatnot, but down there in Los Angeles, they are losing their mind down there.
Right.
I'm going to give a couple quick text messages. I bet Chris Bausch is a designated survivor. He's a man running for office here that was, there was a group, a nasty group that made up a conspiracy theory and pulled him through the mud. And I think he'll come out well also. And then there's another one. My question was a head up request to protect us from unelected bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. And I think that's...
And I'm assuming that's directed at me.
Yeah,
this, because this comment, yeah.
They're talking about these joint powers that are doing quite a bit.
Yeah, it gets pretty much out of hand. And I've seen this before in other communities. And, we've talked about it. I sat on a city council out in Fresno years back. So I've seen these types of things happen where you have these unelected bureaucrats end up being the quote-unquote elected official, but they don't answer to anybody. And by giving them way too much power, that pretty much has, not pretty much, but it has to be reined in. You can't have that going on.
So I'm going to tell you a controversial secret right now, buddy. This is just for you, and I'm going to piss people off when I say it.
This is really creepy.
So if you lose by a small margin, okay, do not do a recount. That is the biggest waste of time. You go cure the vote. That's all you do. You know, I look at the Gibson race, and right, the other, that should have been cured. 7 votes, he won.
Oh, they could have cured that easy.
Yeah,
curing
easily.
The votes. Lynn Compton was once behind over 100, and she went out and cured those votes and won by probably
six.
Yeah,
60 some odd votes. Yeah.
Yeah, but she went and cured the votes. Yeah, and
you go cure 10. If you're behind by 13, you go cure 10, and you actually won by 3.
Got it.
The math works.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, I promise it does. I always shook my head at that. I went out of town because I was helping Bruce, and I said, don't do this. We need to cure the vote. And I came back, and the recall had started.
Now, maybe you guys know this, because I'm under the impression that they're going to start vote counting again tomorrow on Thursday, but they're not going to count today?
They're supposed to tell you when they're counting, because you have the right to be there.
Nobody's told me anything.
Well, I have the right to be there because I'm an executive member of the Republican Party, but you as a candidate.
So you have a right to be there?
You, yep.
So if I went down there, I got to hang out with you.
I'm not going to be there, I guarantee you, but you actually have the right. They should have told you that as a candidate and a representative. At least 2 people can be down there watching them.
I'll get a hold of them, definitely, yeah. I'll definitely get a hold of them on that.
Yeah, they should be telling you when to come down.
I think people need to insist that Elaine Kano does things quicker. This is not good. We are the last or second to the last every time. She needs to start. If every other county in California can get it done, and we have this, the fact that they didn't count already processed ballots, that, and again, I know that someone called in and said, well, it takes 4 days after the state processes them. The state website says the opposite. It says if you've been approved by, you're on the state list and your name's in, you are supposed to be counted. You are counted on Tuesday. So those would have been counted on 54,000. They weren't counted. So we don't even know how many of them were counted because she stopped putting on the ballot how many of those are poll voters. I find it frustrating.
I'm asking this because I don't know. And I'm willing to admit it. Is it possible that there's, and I've heard this one, is that there's a staffing shortage on election day, and they can't get enough volunteers in there? And I'm saying this in terms
that's
of, I've heard this from some people.
Okay, but the problem with that is she already processed all those ballots. It would have taken 3 minutes to put them through.
Yeah, see, and that's because I've watched these ballots go through. You literally put them in the machine and it.
And again, we've had November things with 4 times the votes.
Right.
And they've been able to get it done. Why can they not get it done with this few votes? And you already had them processed. I've never seen them not process the early mail-in ballots in total on Tuesday. I've never seen it happen before.
Is that, yeah, see, and this is where, let me expand out even beyond that. This is one of the frustrations we're having here in this county with just beyond just this department, but trying to understand why does it take so long to get even building permits in this county. I mean, there's so many different things like this that I'm saying, wait a minute here. There's got to be a logistical answer for this because we're seeing places in California. So I don't want to hear, well, they do it differently in another state. If other places in California can do it, why aren't we doing it? What are we doing wrong here? What's coming up short?
But we are the worst in California. We're either
that's
last or second
right.
to last.
Exactly.
Why are we, and this wasn't happening when we had other clerk recorders.
Because
this is with this clerk recorder.
Karen, our acronym is?
Slow.
Thank you.
Right. But we've actually had really great clerk recorders, and I believe they've all been Democrats too, and I have never had a problem with any of them until now. And that's the honest to God truth. I've never had a problem with anybody we've ever had until now. And a lot of that has to do with partisanship and what seems to be an inability to properly perform your job.
I want to touch on the insurance commissioner position for the state of California. There were 11 candidates. Mm-hmm. 6 of them were Democrats. 5 were Republicans. The first come out last night had our local Stacey Korsgaden was leading the pack at the very initial, and then she fell down to third place and a little bit farther apart. Right now she's about 1.5% from going to the final election. We got a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, you keep comparing Kano, which I think she's very incompetent, but you keep comparing her to Julie and Tommy Gong. But we're in a different world, you know. Back then, you know, people voted at the polls, and so there was a lot of information that comes in that night. And then you go back and start checking signatures from write-ins and all that type stuff. Well, now they've turned this whole thing into a write-in election. And so it's a different world than those two other clerk recorders. And I think they did an excellent job, and I think Kano doesn't. Awful job, and I agree with you that she's partisan, and she's just skirting her way around the rules. And I used to be an elected official, and so I sat in these things and watched them count ballots when you're only a few votes apart. But she's just not doing a good job. And for Mr. Woody sitting there, congratulations, and I hope it keeps going your way.
I sure hope so too. Thank you so much.
And what is your name?
Mike Ryan.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, we got a nice talking to you.
Wait a minute. you should be in the studio here.
I watch from the outside. I'm a recovering politician.
Oh, my gosh. You're like a legend, please. What an honor to hear from you.
And what's interesting, Mike, I think, is that we have elections, you know, that have been going on the last few years since she's been our county clerk, where they can count the county's vote by hand faster than we can count them with machines, which is pretty bizarre. But I mean, we are the slowest of the slow.
Yeah, and we definitely got that. But the world has changed because there's so much more verification of signatures and all that type stuff that we didn't have back when. And back when, we did much better job, and they ought to go back to mm-hmm. poll voting, and then we'll have a real election. But, you know, again, you got to worry. They knew how to find an extra box in the coast, you know, a couple years ago. So you got to watch out for that extra box coming in.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I want to talk about the votes, the early mail-in votes. I think I heard 64,000. Maybe I heard reported by the state, not consistent with those reported by the county clerk reporter. I want to know if the Department of Justice is appropriate to contact to investigate the possibility of fraudulent handling of votes.
Oh, you're putting it on me.
I thought it was going to the state attorney general.
Yeah, I would think the state attorney general, if there's a suspicion. I mean, I believe the state, what you were talking about earlier was kind of, you know, there's a caveat that, you know, so many were turned in, but it says it should kind of, I can't remember.
It said typically anything received and processed by the end of on Monday will be counted on Tuesday is what the count, you know, the Secretary of State page says. And in this case, in our county, it wasn't even close. We don't know anymore because she's taken it about. I know the feds have some say in the elections, but I know they've been telling Dan Dow's office to look into a lot of the things going on. And as you know, he has been taking a much stronger role in going after wrongdoing during the election.
That is good, but why isn't there an onslaught of people calling his office, burning the telephone lines, and do something about this before all the evidence is hidden away, lost, burned up, locked away, where we can't access it because it no longer exists? It's here and now that investigation must start.
And I think you're right. I think, you know, if there is impropriety, I think that's the key to this, though. There is a caveat. And I think, you know, first of all, if you want to make the complaint, you make the complaint, and then they look into it and they see if there's validity or not. I mean, you don't want it, like you're saying, you don't want it to be like the IWMA when you say, hey, we're going to come look at your papers, and they start shredding them.
So sorry, I have to use the restroom, so can I use the $10,000? Yeah.
They plugged up that toilet.
When they were getting searched, they actually had three trash cans with shredder machines.
They did not.
No, they emptied out all their files into a trash can.
Oh, good grief.
Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsor, and be back with one more segment with Michael Aaron Woody and Eric Gorham.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SloCountyHearingAids.com.
Your summer plans just got a cash upgrade. It's Beach Bucks Bonanza every Thursday in June at Tatchy. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., four winners every hour can score up to $1,500 in Tatchy cash.
Whoa!
Or up to $5,000 cash in a gas certificate. Right. Then at 8 p.m., one guest could win up to $25,000 cash. Play slots and table games to earn entries and make your summer pay you back. Beach Bucks Bonanza only at the Tatchy Palace Casino Resort. Ha ha!
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Tomorrow afternoon, I will have Josh Friedman on the show. Josh has been at a major military forum that just occurred in Ukraine, in Odessa. You had people from multiple companies. You had a lot of American congressmen and senators. You had one of the heads of BlackRock talking about what they're doing with military equipment, talking about problems with different wars and things going on, what is the future of war. Also, they're going to be talking with Josh and also Dave Duringer. Dave Duringer is, his wife is from Ukraine. He is a local attorney. We're going to have both on the show tomorrow. It's very fascinating what was said at this forum. You need to hear it from Josh. You even had Trump's pastor talking about, there was a lot of people that liked Trump, a lot of people that hated Trump. You had heads of countries. You had people from Iraq, Sweden, Israel. It was a very big deal, and Josh was there in Ukraine covering it. He is still in Ukraine. He will be calling in from Ukraine tomorrow. I think it's a show you're going to want to listen to. But today we've got Michael Aaron Woody and Eric Gorm talking about the election. Also, you can call in. You have one last time to call in or send a text. 805-238-5775.
And I have to make an observation in this election and sitting here today is we have a candidate that is not wearing shoes. And I think it says Andy on his feet.
What?
I'm not sure.
What? I hate you right now. I truly hate you.
And if you've listened to me talk you. With Aaron this before, I might have.
This is a cultural thing. This is racism. You know that?
Man, I'm a bit blacklisted. But so how you?
I mean, I was late. I was tired. I don't have my shoes. I drive barefoot. I can't. Okay, never mind.
I am a person. I literally go barefoot at home all the time.
Let's be clear about this. Now, this coming from somebody, Eric Gorm, who's wearing a t-shirt and flip-flops right now. So please spare me the. Don't act like you're in here in a three-piece suit, you know, with some black shiny shoes on or something.
Actually, I think Woody is dressed better than you.
Right. Really? Yeah. I don't believe that at all. I'm not giving that.
I don't have to tell you.
And I'm not talking about me. Again, right. If you could see the three of us with our eyes sagging, looking around, going, ugh.
So what do you think? What do you think? When is this over? Is it going to be 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks? What's your guess?
Well, don't they have to certify by July 2nd?
They have 38 days to certify. But the thing is, she needs to get it done so people can work on it. And she... Last election, she waited to right at the very end.
My understanding is that they're going to start counting votes tomorrow and Friday, and then at the end of Thursday and the end of Friday, we're going to get some more results coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where, you know, we were talking about earlier about this race, is that the key to this is knowing that the late votes this time came Democrat. So there's two trains of thoughts in my district.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
The two trains of thoughts are real simple. One of which, if you just go by statistics, you can sit there and say, okay, well, by these just, you know, being heavily leaning Democrat, that's going to favor Jim D'Antona. Okay, and there's an argument for that. I get it. But if you look at the race carefully and you realize that he ran on partisan issues, he ran a partisan race, partisan issues, yada, yada, yada. We ran community issues. What we'll find is that if everybody was simply going to the polls and voting partisan issues, he should be up by about 8 to 10 points right now. So we know that the partisanship is not breaking the way that he wanted it to in this whole thing. That's why we're up by 4 points right now. So what happens in the next day or two, we'll have to see how this breaks. Does it break partisan or does it break on community issues? And if it breaks on community issues through Moro Bay and Los Osos, then... we're going to look really good on this one, but we'll see.
Right, and I think realistically, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Yeah. I think one of the best things for you personally, when I look at that race, was wind energy and the crisis it caused over there, and all these groups starting to align. You have Democrats, Republicans, MPP, all going to meetings together, and all saying, "Okay, this is our guy because he supports what we want him to support." You know,
right? And
this guy is just. You know, I hate to say it, but he just avoids the
right. Subject. And that was the misunderstanding of the whole thing is that if you're on the outside of District 2, you'll look in and you'll look at an Excel spreadsheet and say, oh, okay, here's Democrats, here's Republicans, no party preference, Green Party. And you look at just demographics on a spreadsheet and you'll say, okay, well, here's the race that you run. You got those of us who live in this area, who are from this area, whose families built this area, who are saying, no, that's not how you need to look at these voters. You need to look at the community issues on a granular level. And then you throw in what happened at Moss Landing in Monterey County, the water issues in Cayucas, Cambria, Los Osos. There's community issues going on out there. And that's how we ran our campaign, how I ran this campaign, as I said, let's go after local community issues.
And I think if you really look, if you look at, say, Ian Parkinson, you look at Dan Dow, I think it's actually somewhat similar, even though a lot of people say Dan's way to the right or whatever you want to say, is they win overwhelmingly because I believe the public thinks they have their best interests.
That's exactly right. There it is right there.
And if you looked at what D'Antona stood for, his number one thing was he was anti-offshore oil, even though we have an ordinance or a measure they can't do. We don't have offshore oil because of a measure we already have. Then it was that he was very anti-ICE and wanted to keep ICE out of the county. Second of all, that's not his decision to make. Right. And third of all, he hates Trump. What does that have to do with the community?
Right. I want you to make us a promise. If you win this, we will have no more, every 2 years during an election cycle, a resolution that we will not put offshore oil when we already have it in the books.
Well, that was the irony of the whole thing, is that, you know, we knew that he was running on, you know, the partisan platitudes. We knew that. It was obvious from the very beginning, because his consultants in Santa Barbara were saying, this is what you need to do. And I jumped on this whole thing and said, no, we're going to take on community neighborhood issues. And this is how we're going to talk about it. The interesting thing is every time we go to forums, debates, or anything else, he was constantly asked, what is your position on offshore wind? Black and white. And it would always turn into a non-answer answer and to say, let's talk about Donald Trump and offshore oil. And a lot of voters were contacting me and saying, this is just BS. It's like, you know, this isn't an issue. Now, the ICE issue was funny to me, because that was one of those things that he put on the mailer that said, you know, don't let Woody fool you. You know, don't let him say that he's got concerns over ICE today, because he used to support ICE. And I'm literally looking at this flyer, wrinkling my forehead as I get it out of the mailbox, walking through my garage, cleaning out the cat litter box, and thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute, Jim, Democratic Party, Democratic strategist, your entire party supported ICE under Barack Obama. Okay, now you don't under Donald Trump. And so here you guys are blasting me for your very issue that, you know, and I'm saying, and here's the thing, voters are catching on to that. They understood that. They understood the irony.
80-some percent of voters actually support ICE arresting criminal immigrants. 80-some percent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So their idea that everybody hates ICE, the fear tactics, they're just running around grabbing a little kid out of school. The actual thing is, in, especially in our area, they are going after criminal immigrants. They're not, you know, think about some of the things that had here. We had somebody killed by a driver without being able, someone that was supposed to have been kicked out of the country. You had a 5-year-old boy left in a car every day by his dad while he went to work.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing that just killed me in all this, is I watched him take anything that I have said in my entire life and twist it and contort it in a way that was either a gross misrepresentation or just flat out untrue.
So he had the money to have consultants, and I think Tom Folks helped him, but Tom Folks' daughter also worked, I think, out of Santa Barbara on the campaign.
Well, I think honestly, and if you're ever thinking about running for supervisors, you have to look at this, because it's the same playbook it has been for 20 years.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is that I knew that this was potentially coming. I was really surprised that his entire race, and more than just his race, but I watched his supporters get on social media and just say things that were just ridiculous. I mean, his supporters were getting into things like, does this guy get Botox?
I think you do.
Well, of course I do. Don't be ridiculous. So, it's honesty. Hey, open book.
There it is.
Transparency. But that was the funny thing of it, is that they were the one thing that his campaign never did in the entire election. And I say this objectively, not even as a take on Jim or anybody else. He never told voters why they should vote for him. None of his supporters ever got on the internet and said, we need to support Jim D'Antona because he supports A, B, and C, these good policies. It was, we need to support Jim D'Antona because A, he's a Democrat. B, Michael Aaron Woody's a, you know, evil human being, and we've been told this over and over. But, and then it was, oh, well, he has experience because he works for Bruce Gibson. But they could not sit down and say, if you vote for Jim D'Antona, here are the 5 things he's going to do. They could look at my campaign and say, okay, look, he's going to make sure that we work against the offshore oil, and offshore wind. He's going to make sure that he has a new policy for battery plants. He's got this new policy ideas. He knows he's going to work on the issues with land use, term limits, and everything else. You could line up all the issues with me. You could not do that for him. He had no message.
Michael, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. After last night, I know this was tough. And Eric, thank you very much for coming on and doing the election wrap-up.
Good time.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.